Okay, so the title of my talk is Integration of Hard and Soft Data to Characterize Field Scale Hydraulic Properties for Flow and Transport Study, and a list of colleagues is stated below from the USDARS in Riverside and UC Riverside. This symposium is dealing with advancing measurement techniques and modeling synergy for environmental soil research. The project that I'm going to talk about, the environmental aspect of it is stated as transport and fate of nitrate and pathogens in a dairy lagoon water application site, an assessment of comprehensive nutrient management plan performance. In simple words, while ensuring to replenish the soil profile with the soil water and nutrients, we're asking ourselves several questions. What are the fate of the pathogens that come in with the dairy lagoon water? Does nitrate leach below the root zone due to its high mobility, and how much salt is accumulated in the soil profile? In order to execute this type of a project, you can see in the picture we have to build a feed lab, but initially we had to a feed lab that actually that can monitor soil water status, soil solution, and soil microbiology. But initially we had to characterize the field profile. This talk will be focused on our efforts and the techniques and the methodologies that we use in order to characterize our two field sites. And it will focus about the soil profile, stratigraphy, and spatial variability, the hydraulic properties, and the solute transport. We distinguish between two sets of data. We call it hard data and soft data. I know it's used in the literature before, but I just want to make sure that everybody knows what I'm talking about. Hard data is a direct measurement of soil or hydraulic properties at the field or in the laboratory. It's a generally high quality and we have high confidence in the value. Soft data, it's an indirect estimation derived from a statistical correlation between soil properties and other information. The first phase was we utilize a mobile remote electromagnetic induction, and it was already discussed earlier this morning. And this is the tool itself that drag a magnet, and it generates an easy apparent electric conductivity map of the field. This is a 10-acre field that was designated to our field project, and we have to study spatial variability and to locate our field site in the most homogeneous part. Since in this field condition, specifically when the measurements were made, there is a very strong correlation between the apparent electrical conductivity of the soil and the soil texture. This is what helped us to pick the site. By the way, this machine, this magnet is averaging about 120 centimeters of the upper profile. So this is the experimental site. And it consists from two undisturbed soil profile plot that I actually put a yellow square around one of them. The other one is on the other side. They are very similar to each one. And they are surrounded by four culvert pipes that the picture is here below. And in each culvert pipe, you have a tensiometer scattered in the plot. We have a Nerton access tube. We have solution and micro samplers and the four probe. To measure the apparent electrical conductivity in a certain location. The first phase of characterizing the field was sampling at 10 different locations in this plot, soil in a 15 centimeter increment, and analyze it for the particle size distribution with a laser scattering device. This is called the soft data, and it generates a median particle size. I'm just showing what it's on the graph, a median particle size over depth. In general, we have a homogeneous sandy loam layer at the upper 70 centimeter with about 50 micron median particle size and the bar represent the Hazen coefficient, uniformity coefficient. It means low bar, small bar represent very uniform. So the upper 70 centimeters are actually pretty uniform with the same median particle size and very high uniformity. Below that, we found a thin layer with a higher median particle size up to 250 micron. Below that, the profile is getting a little bit variable. We found a sand, it's a long texture with sand lenses and clay lenses. The sand lenses are located at this location around here. A clay lenses is located around here. So it's a variable textural profile, lower profile. The information here is a bulk density, it's a bulk density over depth and a picture of the profile, and it's corresponded to what I told you just a minute ago. The upper 70 centimeter has a constant, and this is average value of 7 locations, so the bars represent standard deviation. So this is a uniform layer at the upper profile, and then a sand layer with a higher bulk density. And then you can just look, it doesn't matter to look at the average, just look at the standard deviation. It covers a wide range of soil texture, and it is very non-uniform heterogeneity. And in the picture, you can see it in order to understand. This is just before we installed the culvert pipe. This is a realization of a soft saturated hydraulic conductivity. This is two transections, east, west, and north, south of one of the plots that we have. And you can see the order of magnitude in KS, in the saturated hydraulic conductivity, we have a three order of magnitude, from about 1,000 centimeter per day in a coarse layer that situated in between these two fine layers. And we have lenses of the clay lenses and just a loam below. We generate the KS, the soft KS, by the Rosetta program. And as input, we use the particle size distribution and the bulk density information. Undisturbed core were collected from several locations and selected depths based on the data that I showed before. And they were analyzed for water retention curve and the saturated hydraulic conductivity in the lab. As you can see, the two upper ones are from 30 and 60 centimeters below the surface, and they are generating a very similar hydraulic properties. The sand layer on the left side here, it has a lower holding water capacity and much higher hydraulic property, saturated hydraulic property. The bottom texture, as I stated before, it's very variable and it has a wide range of hydraulic properties. This data that was generated and fitted to the Van den Uchten model was used in a numerical model, the IDU study that I will present later, in order to compare between direct field measurement and the simulation based on the lab data. So this is the field measurement during of water content and water pressure head during a steady state infiltration and a drainage at the field site. This is average of four culvert pipes from one plot. And as you can see, relatively high values are during the steady state are measured for both the water content and the pressure head. And they are decreasing over time and during the period of the drainage period. Now, this value, the continuously high value during this steady state infiltration, are actually dictated by the infiltration rate and the perch water table that I didn't mention before that exists in this field site, and it's located around minus 220 centimeters, about 2 meters below the soil surface, where the perch water table. Now, the minimum value during the drainage process are dictated only by the perch water table. We use this data and the instantaneous profile method to calculate the hydraulic conductivity versus the saturation degree of the upper 60-70 centimeter where water mass balance is conserved. And we plot it here on the bottom right side. And we just compare it to the simulated curve of the Van Genuchten Mualem model from the two cores that corresponded to the same depth, and we can see we have a very good agreement. Okay, here we compare between. Here I'm coming to the simulated versus direct measurement. And we have two graphs very similar, but the upper graph presents simulation when hard data, it means the cores, are service input to the model, and the bottom one is soft data when we use the Rosetta and all the other information to generate hydraulic properties of the upper sandy loam layer and compare between measurement and between simulation. We are simulated here, the saltwater head on the left side and the saturation degree on the right side over the steady state infiltration and then during the drainage. And you can see that we found a better agreement when the data that was generated from the cores was applied to the model. Since we have a very coarse layer located in between two fine layers, its function is a capillary barrier, and a capillary barrier is associated with lateral flow. So we use again the Hydro2D to simulate the lateral flow, the relatively lateral flow to the soil surface flow or infiltration rate. And we can divide it into two parts, up to 5 centimeters per day and over that. Up to 5 centimeters per day, if we are increasing the infiltration rate on the surface, the lateral flow at the upper profile is increasing from about 10% to up to 50%. And then from 5 and go on, an upper value, it stay on 50%. Now these two are corresponded, this is two mechanisms in a capillary barrier. Here at the bottom one, I try to simulate the velocity vector in order to explain how this capillary barrier works in these two sections. Let's start with the flat section. I'm looking at the left side, and we have the sandy loam, the sand layer, and the loam and clay lenses, like I showed you before. And you can see the arrows, most of the arrows are going outside from our field plot, are located inside the sand layer. This is when the saturated hydraulic conductivity of the loam and the clay lenses are much lower than the infiltration rate at the surface. The other section is due to lateral flow above the, is due to different in water holding capacities of the upper sandy loam and the lower sand layer. It means very dry here and relatively wet here, and then you can see that the lateral flow occurs above the sand layer. A short discussion on the concept. We conducted the conservative tracer transport experiment, which was a steady state infiltration rate of 6 centimeter per day, and we use a drift spacing of 40 centimeter by 40 centimeter. We had a pulse of 47 hours of tracer, and we sample every 24 hours. Due to the ununiformity of the boundary condition, due to this drip application, and to the homogeneous profile of the 70 centimeter, we can use an inverse simulation and modeling in order to calculate the longitudinal dispersivity and use it for prediction. But if I'm drawing the bottom profile, I can show you that we have a normal behavior, a breaking through curve of the bromide in the bottom profile. We have a normal, and we are, if we are looking at the travel time and a bromide mass balance, We have a normal behavior when the bromide pulse is propagating over depth and probably mass balance is conserved. But I can show you abnormal behavior, okay? One and two, when travel time, I mean, when different depths are showing before the other ones and mass balance is not conserved. Now, the conclusion from the former, from the former slide was said that we cannot actually analyze the bromide propagation, the bromide transport in this field site with a deterministic 3D approach, and we have to go for averaging the four location and be more stochastic one. So this is the outcome of average all the four locations and from the surface to minus 150 centimeter. And you can see we can have a trend, a very good trend that bromide, I mean, of travel time and mass balance. But if I'm adding the minus 90 centimeter, we have a lot of trouble with that. And the reason is because of the dispersion of the breakthrough curve around this minus 90 centimeter where the clay lenses and the sand layer is located. The conclusion of my talk is we demonstrate the use of different data sources and tools to characterize a field site for flow and transport study. The integration, only the integration of both soft and hard data, interpolation algorithm and numerical modeling was needed to provide a realistic representation of the water flow and solute transport at our field site. Hard data provides a more accurate prediction of water flow and bromide transport in the site relatively to soft data. Nevertheless, simulation which employed the soft data did capture the general water flow behavior and trends. Thank you for listening. Just I want. Okay. Not that bad. 18 minutes. Yeah, I just want to show you. This is a. I was in a symposium this early morning, and one of the questions about a guy that presents something from California said, "Hey, does the fire did something to your website, to your field site?" And I want to raise my hand. Yes, it destroyed it all. So this is, look, this is about a month ago. Everything is green, everything is running. This is sorghum, and this is 2 weeks after. I mean, nothing left. Everything is covered with about 3 feet of sand. All our shed with all the electronics inside, blue with the wind. I mean, all these culvert pipes are full of sand, and we are looking for volunteers to dig it out. Yeah, no, this is not a fire, this is a windstorm. Windstorm that brought a lot of sand with it. I mean, 100 miles per hour. I measure it. I had a, you can't see, but I had a weather station just in between there. I mean, you can see it over here. And before it dropped dead, it was 100 per, 1 mile or something around.
Yes.
Okay, yes, please.
Where exactly is your field?
It's a. Okay, due to the lack of time. It's located, since this project is, it's in San Jacinto, California, South California, San Jacinto. It's close to Riverside, it's about 20 miles southeast to Riverside, California. And it's located, since this project is utilizing lagoon waste, dairy lagoon water, it's located inside the dairy farm. So it's a virgin soil that we utilize to our project in order to make our research. San Jacinto.
Thank you.
That's all?